96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Mind your manners on the job. Good advice and not hard to follow. But when you attend the office holiday parties this time of year, sometimes it's easy to forget. And that can get you into trouble. Well, tonight we're going to keep you out of trouble with tips to help you enjoy the party and keep your job. My guest is Nicole Kober. She is a corporate consultant and author of the book CEO of My Soul. If you have any questions or comments about how to behave at the office party during the holidays, and if you've had some experiences or have perhaps seen someone who was misbehaving, we'd like to hear from you. Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Hey, Nicole, how are you?
Hello, my friend. How are you doing? Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you. Good to see you. Okay, so considering the climate that we are currently in with the sexual harassment accusations floating around, is it safe to assume that no one's going to attend the office party? some folks will just call in, perhaps.
Everybody's coming down with the sniffles, right?
Exactly.
I take your point very seriously. I think everybody is on heightened alert, DEFCON 5 all around the country. And I think it's rightfully so. No one knows what to expect anymore. No one knows what the norms are because these cases, these high profile cases are so disturbing. They're catching everybody off guard. And, I do like to point out that the people that are going down, even though they are high profile, they are highly flagrant, highly just abnormal, exposing yourself just over the top, right? So this isn't just a mild act of flirtation. These are people, just dramatic abuses of power. So that being said, I'm like, okay, I don't think everybody needs to call in sick, but I think you absolutely should use extreme caution, be very conservative with how you approach this.
Mm-hmm. So you said you should definitely go, not just because it's the holidays, but office politics do play a part in it, and so you should show up.
Well, yes. I mean, that's the answer, but approach it differently. I think in the past, people were like, hey, this is a time to kind of let my hair down. You're going for the drinks. There's top shelf alcohol, all these kinds of things. I think you just need to shift your strategy and see this as an opportunity that you're always on the job, whether you are physically in your office or you're down the street at a restaurant that your office is providing. Providing food and everything for the holidays. It's always an opportunity to close a deal, to make a good impression, to get to know your superiors or people that you work for or with in a different and more relaxed setting. That setting is not all the way relaxed. Like you said, don't turn up
because
you get kicked out, right?
Right.
But use it as an opportunity to do business, to bring up things that you want to talk about instead of, hey, we got to talk about everything that, every assignment. This is more, hey, tell a little bit more about yourself, your family, the things that you value. But it should not singularly be this is an opportunity to drink.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about minding your manners during the office holiday parties. What kinds of things do you need to know to make sure that you're on your best behavior and still have a good time? Let's go to the phone lines. They're open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. May, calling from Glendale. Hey, May, how are you?
Great. How are you?
Doing just fine. What's on your mind?
Well, I wanted to know if I could go to my husband's Christmas party.
Oh, that's a good question. And that's usually kind of office to office specific. Just think about it like when you're having a party at your home, the RSVP, you know, if you double, if your husband's office is 100 people and everybody had a spouse, the financial implication of that may be a little more burdensome than your office, his office is looking for. So I wouldn't take it personally, but I would definitely ask, don't show up, ask him, is our spouses invited or not? And know that there's usually an economic implication or explanation if they decline that request.
Why do you have a question as to whether or not you should go?
Well, I usually don't get invited.
Where does he work? Or what kind, or should I say, what kind of job does he do?
It's a nonprofit.
Nonprofit. So like I said, I'm always the optimist and I'm always thinking, hey, they're usually business restrictions and maybe they're just right after work. They're just trying to do maybe a less formal thing. But to double the size of that, most offices are just coming out of recession and downsizing and things. So it's probably just not in the economics. However, just ask. I'm not trying to start anything in your home, but
yes,
I'm just
are.
Saying, hey,
yes,
hey, boo, you know, are our spouses invited? But I'm telling you, usually it's usually for the staff.
Okay. May, thank you so much. Happy holidays to you.
Thank you. Happy holidays.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Which, you know, May brings up an interesting question, as you said, and not to suggest anything about her situation, but I would imagine, depending on what your spouse is like,
right,
and where you work, that could be an issue.
It's very true. Now, not trying to take this outside of our topic, but I know like some spouses are friends on social media and some are not. You know, to your point, what is your relationship? How do you all interact? And do you keep things just in your home or are you friends on the job? Things like that. Those are personal decisions. But to my earlier point, a lot of them are just the logistics of does that office want to be welcoming to the family or are they just trying to do something nice for their immediate staff? Cost implications of that. I used to own a small business for about a decade. It's hard to, on shoestring budgets to do things that extend beyond that. So,
And the thing that I was talking about, you know, say you work for a very buttoned down company, mm-hmm. and you and your spouse are very close. You can't keep your hands off of each other. You know, you've been married for a week or for 20 years, but you know, sometimes, you know, those kinds of public, displays of affection, they may not fit within that, you know, the office culture.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? And so, and sometimes
that's a great one because that's a great question because, it depends on the brand and the culture of the company that you work for. There are a lot of companies that are pro-family, mm-hmm. very family-friendly. There are some that just have a question mark, like they are just bottom line, you know, maybe stockbrokers. I'm thinking real intense, high-pressure situations. They're not caring about family. They're caring about the bottom line. Sorry to your stockbrokers out there that, you know, find offense to that. But there are very clear cultural aspects to how these holiday parties go down. And quite frankly, not all offices do that. Not all of them are really big on extending or caring about their employees, you know what I'm saying, to do mm-hmm. these warm and fuzzy and kind of good feeling things around this time of year. So it's just know your firm, know what their expectations are before you go in and ask whether that invitation can be extended.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about office holiday parties, what you need to know to make sure that you're on your best behavior and that you can still enjoy the party. Do's and don'ts. Give us a call if you have any questions or perhaps if you've seen something that has happened at a party that you've attended and you thought maybe that wasn't the best thing. If you have a question about that, we'd like to hear about it as well. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Eric, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind? Eric, are you there?
Yes, hi.
Hi, how are you? Go right ahead. What's on your mind?
I'd just like to say, to comment on the party situation.
Uh-huh.
Would you say that after, with intent, would these acts be made when someone inappropriately touches you, or would, with all the controversy that's going around now, it's with intent. So how would you say, okay, this person didn't mean it, is very visible that they are under the influence. Mm-hmm. So should you take that to the next level, or leave it at that?
So what I think I hear you saying is, it's a great point about intent, and I'll put my legal hat on for you, Eric. You will be held responsible for your bad conduct, whether you intended to do it or whether you were under the influence and you had what they say is a diminished capacity. So say we went to the office party, you had three drinks and you made a pass at a coworker.
Ooh.
All right. So you wouldn't have done that 9 to 5, but you made a pass at the coworker and you say, hey, you know, I really didn't mean it, I was drunk. You could still be held liable for doing things that were inappropriate, even though you wouldn't have done it without those drinks. So my first thing is, instead of having one too many, have one less. The second thing is, if you don't trust yourself with alcohol, bring a friend that will be your partner to say, hey, I think that you've gone too far. But your primary question is, I didn't mean to do it. You can still lose your job for acting inappropriately.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Well,
there you go.
All right, thank you.
There you go. Thank you so much for your phone call. I need to take a break, but when we come back, we're going to talk to Sarah. We're going to talk to Greg as well. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about office holiday parties, how you can enjoy yourself, make connections, and be on your best behavior. Keep your job after the party is over. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.
The Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we're talking about holiday office party etiquette. What you need to know, the do's and the don'ts, how to enjoy yourself and keep your job. My guest is Nicole Kober. She's a corporate consultant and also author of the book CEO of My Soul. Lines are open. Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Greg calling from Baltimore. Thanks for calling, Greg. What's on your mind?
Hey, how you doing?
Doing just fine.
Yeah, my question is, you know, why do these office parties even serve alcohol? Alcohol is usually the problem, and, you know, there's a law out there now where you get to get coverage. In some cases, it's called host liquor liability. So there's a lot of liability that, implications involved in serving alcohol, and I think without alcohol, you know, you don't have to worry about it. That's 50% of the problem, you know, gone.
I would say it's 80% of the problem gone because, listen, these, you know, you have some flagrant violations. We're seeing people go down for really extreme and excessive behavior, right? So let's take them off of the table, all right? But normal, everyday people are working very well with each other, 9 to 5, no problem. When you introduce alcohol, and guess what? Some people at home, are functional alcoholics. And I say this with all due respect. They can keep it together as long as that stimulant or that depressant is not involved, but they can't help themselves. So why, as an employer, would you take on that risk? I don't think we've looked at it this carefully before, but I think Greg has an excellent point that if you take that off the table, you're going to really reduce the risk for those people who have problems, for those people who are lightweight drinkers. They get out and they think they can handle it and they can't. I told the story the other day where I went out on a date. I was asked to go to an office party and there was like brown alcohol that was being served. I was very young, had never had anything that was that strong. And all I remember is exiting through the kitchen to the bathroom, and I was just so sick. So you have a spectrum of things, and none of them end well. Like, none of these things are ending well. So what I am telling people, think of the party as a business opportunity, not an opportunity to be excessive. Mm-hmm. This is an opportunity to kind of have a less formal environment around your colleagues and your superiors and to get to know them on a more social level. But if you can't do that unless you have something to drink, you really need to be more careful.
And I think the other side of that, even though I think Greg does make a very, very good point, serving alcohol is not illegal.
Absolutely.
And it's going to happen. If it's not going to happen at Greg's company, it's going to happen at Sam's company. It's going to happen at Nicole's company. And it's going to happen at many of the events that you attend, whether it's an open bar or a cash bar. And so I would think that whether you have a problem with it or whether you're a lightweight or not, I think the reality is, like you said, you have to go with the right attitude,
mindset, yeah. Right? And your point is absolutely well taken. I'll look at the Matt Lauers, the Charlie Rose, et cetera. None of those had to do with alcohol. These guys were stone cold sober. Dropping trow and giving sex toys. Sorry for kids that are listening. But they were doing this stone cold sober. So I don't want to give alcohol a rap. I want to give a bad mindset a bad rap. Okay. We all have personal accountability. That being said, if you have been approached by someone, these office parties, I'm using this because that's you hear about these kinds of things that have happened in a while. Oh, I did something wrong. So look, think mistakes happen. If you are a person that made a mistake, apologize for the mistake, say that and don't let it happen again and go on record. If you are someone that it has happened to, demand an apology, say I didn't appreciate that and have a mature conversation about it and then set the boundaries and also document it. And I'm not trying to get anyone fired, but what I am trying to say is
protect yourself
on all sides.
Greg, thank you so much. I appreciate your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about how to conduct yourself during the office holiday party, the do's, the don'ts, and how to make sure that you keep your job when you return to work on that Monday. Let me speak to Angela. Angela, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Angela. What's on your mind?
Hello, good evening. How you keep your job is that you do not drink at the office party. That's how you keep your job.
I hear you, Miss Angela. I do. Hear you. But like we said, that when you look at all of these infractions, none of these guys were drunk. That wasn't the allegation. But I hear what you're saying is keep your mind right and don't introduce things if you personally, and it's a individualized decision. If you can casually drink and you have a healthy, positive attitude and thought about your boss, about your colleagues, you're not harboring any resentment against them. You don't have any lust for them. Those things are things you should not mix with alcohol.
Yeah.
You understand? Because there's some mindset that is precipitating. When you put it with alcohol, then it becomes a problem.
And Angela, and certainly not to belabor the point, but I think that there are, as Nicole suggested earlier, there are a lot of folks who can have a drink or even two and be fine. And I would argue that, you know, that is the lion's share of people who may attend these parties. And so I think that there are people who, you know, who do have self-control and the like. But, you know, if there is a problem, if you have a problem with, you know, with drinking, then there's something that's something you should not do. But certainly, thank you.
Well, you two can't see me, but I'm as you're speaking, I'm shaking my head. And really quick story: I've been working at my job for 10 years.
Okay. What do you do?
It was me and my other my office manager, who's also black. Just the two of us, only two black women in a mostly white woman practice. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So we're at an office party. Everybody knows I don't drink, and she drinks occasionally, but she wasn't drinking at the time. A white woman told an off-color joke with my office manager. The white woman told the joke.
Okay.
Okay. And so that Monday, it was told, instead of my office manager being told this joke, it was said that I was told this joke. I was nowhere even near them. I am 30 pounds heavier than my office manager. She wears like the Susan Taylor braids.
Okay.
I wear my hair in a tight bun. And the whole deal, and somebody else had to come in and say, wait, no, that wasn't Angela, that was so-and-so,
mm-hmm.
and it was the other person who was a white woman who told the off-color joke, because she's drunk. So this is the fact. Black people, hear me. You're at work. I don't care if it is. Go to a party. Go to your friend's house. It's always work. People are always watching you, and you can get caught up in some mess.
Yeah.
Peter, just because you have a drink in your hand, so you just had a little drink and you said something a little just to offend somebody, and mean offend somebody. And just because you have that one drink in your hand, and you're not even drunk, they could take it left. But if they're always known, like, oh, Angela, she doesn't drink,
mm-hmm.
then they can't use that against you. It's a tool to be used against you. I'm telling you.
Okay.
Don't drink at the office party.
Well, we'll take it under advisement, Angela. And thank you so much. And happy holidays to you. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Told you I did want to hear some stories.
Well, you got that one.
Yeah, we certainly did get that one.
Yeah. So that we can move that away from alcohol, actually, because I think what her real problem was is racism and stereotyping.
Right.
Like they had two black people and they did not care enough to know enough about them to tell them apart. I actually experienced that 20 years ago. I worked as an intern at a law firm for the summer in Philadelphia, and there was a lady that looked nothing like me. I'm a light-skinned black woman. She was a dark-skinned black woman, and the only thing that was similar about us was our race. Neither one of us got offers that summer, and I was always being called by her name for 3 months. And so, you know, what I say to Angela's point is there are a myriad of human resource and inequities that go on in the office. These office parties are a time that some of the ills that may be going on and not seen but in front of closed doors, you kind of get them in these office parties because they're slightly more relaxed. So what I would say there is, you know, just be cautious of the culture, know how to document and protect yourself just on always. That was racial discrimination. That was not because of alcohol, but I think it was alcohol because they let their hair down a little bit and revealed some things that were unpleasant about the culture itself there.
You mentioned earlier that this couldn't be an opportunity to interact with people in your company that you don't normally see.
Yes.
Or perhaps even high-level executives. Mm-hmm. How should you strike up a conversation with a high-level executive that you rarely, if ever, see?
That's a great question. And getting off of the alcohol,
yeah.
Thank you for that. I think everything's an opportunity to foster genuine connections with other people. And I find that if you take labels off, my boss, your boss, and find common ground, find things that you have in common. If you're married, if you have children, I think it's socially appropriate to talk about, hey, my kid is doing really well in soccer, or hey, I'm so excited or nervous. This is a common, I'm entering into this with all of my colleagues, kids entering into college, and you know, the empty nest syndrome and things like that, or anything that you have a genuine interest in, whether it be your family, whether it be sports, whether it be, you know, the Grammys that we're on. Strike up genuine connections, and that's going to be the natural icebreaker between whether it's your boss, colleague, or someone that works for you. Be a human being. Be a thoughtful person. If you're a funny person, find some way to strike up a joke to break the ice with someone else. But don't look at labels. You know, you do have to be careful. I know you don't want to tell off-color jokes.
No lampshades
like
on the head.
No, yeah. I'm talking about genuine connection. And when you do that, you can talk about, hey, and I'm not the greatest dresser, but I really appreciate a sense of style on another person. So I compliment both men and women. Hey, like I'm digging your cufflinks, Harold. I really am digging your cufflinks. Those little things can get that person to talk. And that's the other point. Don't talk all the time. Ask questions. Be a great listener at these parties. You can avoid so much trouble by trying to find out more about people instead of always talking about yourself. That's a safe zone. It creates genuine connection. And then guess what? You can go in once you hear a boss saying, hey, we're really short-staffed in this area, or we really need some better writers here. That's a genuine place where you can say, you know what? I actually just got my certification in, you know, writing in this particular area. And then you can make a personal thing into a professional connection with someone at work. Does that make sense?
It does indeed. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about the holiday office party, how to mind your manners, have a good time, and when it's all over, keep your job. We'll be back in just a minute. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our conversation about holiday office party etiquette. My guest is Nicole Kober. She is a corporate consultant and author of the book CEO of My Soul. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Nicole, I want to pick up on the conversation we had before the break when you were talking about developing or starting conversations mm-hmm. with some of the higher ups. This is a party, but should you use this? Should you talk about work, you know, some of the issues at work, or should you just leave that alone? Because I think you've got to find some kind of balance. There may be an opportunity to address an issue or perhaps an opportunity, but on the other hand, you don't want to talk about an issue mm-hmm. or think about trying to develop an opportunity. You just right. want to have fun.
I totally understand. However, I think that you have to do what I said, which is listen, be a good listener, and read your audience, right? Like, you know, there's some people that are more stiff or more approachable. So it's going to vary from case to case. You're going to have some people that are far more like, hey, I want to take this opportunity to tell you how well you're doing on the job. You know, if the boss or supervisor opens the door for you, I think it's absolutely, thank you for that feedback. You know, I really enjoy this piece. I'd like to get more training on X. And it doesn't have to be the entire night that you're talking about it, but it's just a topic of conversation. It's a natural point of relation that brought you guys together. So I think it would be artificial kind of to just totally keep these lines separate. It's an opportunity to get to know each other better, and you can build off the thing that you already know about each other, which is work. That being said, if you've never talked about anything personal before, there's got to be a natural kind of building up to, okay, you know, I was, I can't even think of a highly personal topic, but it's going to take some time. So your office is your work is the natural relationship that you're building off of. I don't think that's inappropriate at all. But can I just say this? I know that some people feel that, hey, business is business, personal is personal. I think May earlier was like, you know, am I invited to the office party? Is it appropriate to talk about your family? Is it appropriate to bring your spouse to your office? And while I think that it depends on your office culture, I think any opportunity that you can present yourself as a whole human being is a good thing. Because most people have a family. Most people have something that they do outside of work. So if you're single and you really enjoy dancing on the outside, or you love the theater, those things are relevant. They make you you. And I can't see, and I've been a boss for, you know, 15 years. I can't see me ever being offended to know more about what makes my team members tick, what makes them happy. And just a final point, when bosses are providing incentives, right, when they're doing things in addition to the office party, they give gift cards and things like that, they want to know a little bit more about, you know, do you enjoy, what do you like, what things turn you on, do you want to get more training on that? You're giving them insight when you're sharing with them the things that you have an interest in, because maybe a year from now, maybe it won't be an office party. Maybe it'll be, you know, paying for you to take a class doing the thing that you're most passionate about.
What about attire for an office party? How should you look at that?
Great question. Now, I do not profess to be all things etiquette. I know there are people that do a great job at that, but I say being conservative is always great. You know, you can express your own individual personality, but be careful, be conservative. You're not going to the club, so you shouldn't. In a club, you really are being, dare I say, if you're a woman, you are trying to heighten your sensuality. If you are a gentleman, you are trying to be your flyest. That's not the same audience that you're doing for your office parties. Your office parties are still your colleagues. They're still your bosses. They still want to see you in an elegant, conservative and professional way, and it matters. It's not quite the time to express your individuality. You're still doing things that put you in the best, most professional light.
You mentioned something else, and I'm just kind of chuckling to myself even as I ask this question. You said, what if you like dancing and there is music?
Right.
What is
the two-step?
Yeah,
what's the
dancing danger?
Please don't break out the break dancing and
dropping it like it's hot or any of that.
You know, in the world of social media, do you want your shabadoo and your you know, your break dancing? I'm dating myself, yeah. Electric Boogaloo. Do you really want to have that live on in infamy? I say my generation, I'm 46, a lot of things that I did as a 15 to 30, you know, even 25-year-old person, thank God there was no social media to memorialize it, right? So I'm just saying, exercise some prudence. This is your job. Everything is a balance act. The fact your need to be an individual and to have fun, you have to balance that with being cast away as an oddity, somebody that embarrassed themselves, that brought shame to themselves in that one moment. I think it's a no-brainer, but people don't think like that. But now that we know that there are microscopes and microphones and cameras, you cannot, you can't be ignorant to people's perception, how they perceive you. And workplace, they perceive you on intangibles. I should have made this point at the outset. This is the most important bottom line is everything is perception. You're being judged all the time, whether you like it or not. And you're not only being judged by the work that you do, you're being judged by how you show up, whether you're professional or whether you're not professional. Your clothing matters. How you talk matters. How you speak matters. The color, the kind of jokes you tell, all of these tell a composite of who you are. And people want to work with and do business with people that they like. That's the bottom line. So you do have to rein in some of your individuality when you're working in a corporate environment, because there's many opportunities for you to be let go because you don't fit into the corporate culture that they have.
We spoke about parties at the office. And sometimes parties are at office parties or work-related parties are at venues. Mm-hmm. But what if the party is at the boss's house?
Oh.
What do you...
Do you think that's more of a formal...
Well, I guess first and foremost, I would think if it is at the boss's home... Mm-hmm. Does it matter whether the boss lives on a huge sprawling estate or a modest home as to whether or not you bring a gift?
Oh, I think it's always, and oh, I would love, I have a friend who does this all the time about etiquette's do's and don'ts. So I'm gonna call on her later to see if I gave the right advice. I love being a gracious woman. I love being a grateful person. And so whenever you can do something that is modest to say, hey, you're welcoming into my welcoming me into your personal space, I appreciate that. It's never a bad thing to do maybe a bottle of wine or, some they have nice home fragrances, things like that. Something for the home, something for the host to enjoy with their family. Those are nice, thoughtful things. And guess what? That is going to leave a favorable impression. And bottom line is you always want to make a favorable impression on people, whether you work for them or not. You want to walk through this world putting your best foot forward in a professional way.
Because I would imagine, depending on where you work, mm-hmm. your position, you could at times end up in the boss's home, in the CEO's home, mm-hmm. or dare I say, at the CEO's winter home.
Right.
the estate, and sometimes how you would, conduct yourself there may be different from how you would maybe at an office party or what have you, because they are at home, mm-hmm. and they are being the host,
yes.
or hostess. And so I would imagine that there may be a slightly different dynamic there sometimes.
I agree. But, I don't look at people's position and give it too much weight. I think they're people that are good for whatever reason. They're talented at their job and they worked very hard. And these are some of the benefits, mm-hmm. from it. But I'm beneath no one and I'm above no one, right? And so what they do, I'm going to act the same way with the person that is collecting my garbage, the same that I would with someone who has my paycheck. I'm being a good person and being respectful of position. That being said, I'm not ignorant. I know that strategically, treating someone who impacts your salary positively is, mm-hmm. always going to be a good thing. But I would caution you against feeling worse about yourself because you're going to someone's winter home. They, as we clearly know, that money does not equal happiness. And just because someone has status symbols, mm-hmm. does not mean that they can't connect with your joys and your pains equally.
Yeah, and just make sure you don't break the Ming vase.
Don't break anything. Write that paycheck, you'll be, you know, doing the back pay for a little while. But, yeah, just be careful.
Just be careful. Nicole Kober, author of CEO of My Soul, thank you so much. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays, my friend.
All right, we'll be talking soon. That is the Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141 for this Friday, December 8th. For News Director Renee Nash, reporters Taylor Thomas, Troy Johnson, Millette Green, Bramante Bryant, producer Candace Atkins, engineers Craig Fowler and Bobby Adams, I'm Harold Fisher. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton. Good night and have a wonderful weekend.